Thank you, John. I'm really delighted today to greet and have with us, we'll come over here to the lectern, Peter Goodwin, who is the, I guess, the chairman of the PWRDF working group?
Yeah, there's a chair, and then there's the office and representative.
Peter had a long day yesterday, along with Monica and Douglas, as they attended the diocesan study day. And we're here today, and welcome. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you, David. Wonderful to be here on this day of Pentecost with you, celebrating God's gift to us of the Holy Spirit, providing ongoing empowerment in our daily lives. And what better time to be talking about the Primates for Relief and Development Fund with its vision for a truly just, peaceful, and healthy world that brings together Anglicans such as ourselves from across Canada, along with its dedicated staff, program staff, and board members, and the amazing partner organizations and their communities, collectively experiencing God's transformative power through that gift of the Holy Spirit. Many thanks to Monica for really arranging this and talking to David, and David for you having me here. Monica, for your work, your diligent work on behalf of the Primates for Relief and Development Fund, and before you, Carol, for your efforts too. Thank you. They're much appreciated. My primary purpose in speaking today is to talk about some of the food security initiative aspects that program, which is in its final year, and to look at the programs offered by the two partner organizations in Cuba that the fund supports. I experienced these as a member of the food delegation that the Primates Fund had to Cuba last year, and I hope you'll be able to join us all after coffee, and I will share some of my photos. First, I want to mention Fort McMurray and the response by the Primates Fund to the wildfires. It was, as you know, the mining disaster in Spring Hill, Nova Scotia in 1958 that led to the establishment of what was then known as the Primates World Relief Fund. Bishop Melissa issued a pastoral letter a couple of weeks ago that hopefully you received, and expressing concern for those affected and encouraging members of the diocese to keep the fire victims in their thoughts and prayers and to support the PWRDF relief efforts. As of this past Thursday, the fund had received approximately $30,000 in donations. Naba Goering, who is the humanitarian response coordinator, has been working with the bishops of the Diocese of Edmonton, Athabasca, and Calgary. And $15,000 has been distributed to Athabasca and six to Edmonton. Out of concern, the Primates Fund issued this statement last week. Why give to PWRDF for the wildfire relief? The Red Cross is receiving matching funds from various levels of government for wildfire relief. PWRDF is receiving calls from parishes and individuals asking why they should give through PWRDF when the donations will be matched through the Red Cross. Now, the Red Cross is a great organization that's mobilized quickly and is doing amazing work. But they are not everywhere, and they do not do all the things that we do. So here are the two basic reasons that people should consider giving to PWRDF. The Red Cross cannot be everywhere and will not reach everyone in need, especially in the chaotic early days. PWRDF through Anglican parishes is already on the ground and responding and will reach people who will not necessarily be reached by the Red Cross. The Red Cross's mission is immediate relief efforts. PWRDF will be working through the diocese in long-term reconstruction. I encourage you to look at the PWRDF website. There's a couple of recent, very compelling personal stories relating to the wildfire. And also there's directions there as to how you may support the relief efforts. Now to Cuba and food security. PWRDF, as you're probably aware, the last few 3 years has focused on food security based on the simple premise that sufficient good food along with potable water are basic to life. You may be aware of the special website, fredsays.ca, that's been established for purposes of providing information on food security, along with the efforts of the partner organizations that we support to address these concerns. In this now the final year of the Food Security Initiative, the focus is on the five A's of food security: availability, accountability, acceptability, appropriateness, and agency, with videos featuring our fearless primate, Fred Hilt, outlining the issues and PWRDF's response. I would encourage you to take a look at this, and you also have the opportunity there to support the specific causes concerned. At the heart of the Food Security Initiative is the concept of food exchange, whereby mutual learning occurs with sharing information between those involved in food production in Canada and partners elsewhere. In Canada, the setting for doing this is the Sorrento Centre on Lake Shuswap, where week-long food exchange courses are held during the summer. In 2014, representatives of our two Cuban partners, the Episcopal Diocese of Cuba and the Cuban Council of Churches, were guests and gave presentations on their programs. While learning themselves of the production being done at Sorrento and elsewhere across the country. Last year we had partners from Tanzania, and this year it will be Bangladesh. I was privileged to be a participant last summer and was happy to share the beautiful setting there with Monica, who was in another course. And a wonderful resource that's forthcoming from the Sorrento Weeks. I don't know if you've seen it, the Sharing Bread. Sharing Bread, a learning resource. It outlines food issues along with suggested activities to develop an understanding of the issues, with biblical references, reflective thought, and prayer. And those participating in the course take turns on a daily basis to do blogs about it. I will leave a few for your use. Now, while our partners visit Canada to experience food production, delegations to partner countries are organized in return. So last year was the delegation to Cuba, and a food delegation to Tanzania is being planned, hopefully, for next year. The 12-member week-long food delegation to Cuba included PWRDF diocesan representatives, youth council members, Don, who is a farmer from Manitoba, and two staff, one being Suzanne Rumsey, whom you may know, the public engagement coordinator for the fund. And anyhow, she was absolutely amazing and fearless, amazing fearless leader and interpreter ad infinitum. I don't know how she's on and on, back and forth interpreting. It was just amazing. Now, in Cuba, food security became an urgent concern during the special period lasting roughly a decade, beginning with the withdrawal of most of the Russian forces at the end of the 1980s, coupled with the ongoing American embargo. People faced likely starvation, as Cuba was extremely dependent on imported food, and other supplies. This is where when the churches really began to play an important role in food production. The Cuban Council of Churches was founded in 1941 with a chief objective of combating the root causes of poverty. It has approximately 53 members. On our last day, we were fortunate to meet with Mr. Joel Ortega, who is the president at the council's headquarters in Havana. He gave us a history of the work and overview of the work and of the council. He's a member of the Presbyterian Church and spent time in Winnipeg a couple of winters ago learning English. He also visited here and gave a workshop at a church in Burnaby. The Cuban Council of Churches established what's known as the Sustainable Development Program, also known as the Promontories Program. So it is this program that PWRDF supports. It provides training to individuals from different communities in small-scale, sustainable, nutritious food production and preservation, which participants then can take back to their communities and practice and pass on to others. Anglicans have been able to support this program on the Fred Says website by clicking on the slogan, Let's Jam. I don't know if you're familiar with Let's Jam, but you'll see the finished product in my photos. One of the people who participated in the program at its inception was Griselda. She's now the Episcopal Bishop of Cuba, an absolutely amazing woman. Griselda became priest at the Church of St. Mary the Virgin in Otavalo, 1988. Where she instituted the first Episcopal Church small-scale food production in Cuba, designed to meet congregational needs and those of the most vulnerable members of the surrounding community. This is where we spent the first two nights as guests of Griselda and the church. We were put to work in the guava grove picking fruit, which later ended up on our plates as part of the tasty meals we enjoyed, with all the food having been produced on the church property. Griselda was driven by a vision of faith in action and outreach going beyond the celebration of the liturgy. When she became priest, the church was in disrepair and it took 11 years to restore. The land around the church was unused and ready to be prepared for food production. Over time, she was able to acquire increasing amounts of land to allow for more diverse production and to include animal husbandry. Chicken and pork are basic to Cuban diet, and due to the shortage of beef, it's reserved for tourist industry. Cubans caught producing beef for personal consumption can be fined or jailed. Rationing of food is still enforced today, making the church's role in this production all the more vital. Besides, for food, pigs are valued for their manure, which is used to enrich the soil, to make biogas to provide an additional energy source. The gas is produced on the property and piped into the church's kitchen to save on the use of electricity, which is expensive and erratic. Purified water is also produced on church property and made available to all in the community by use of a tap at the church's gate. Contaminated well water, which is prevalent, can result in diseases such as cholera. Members of the congregation become involved in the production of the food on the church property and then take what they've learned and apply it to their own properties. Vulnerable members of the community are provided with food baskets and any excess food production is sold, with profits being used to fund food production and additional programs. As further outreach to the congregation and community, the church offers programming to support needs of the most vulnerable, especially the aged, widows, those with handicaps and special needs, those unable to work without income. Workshops and personal counseling are provided to deal with issues like abusive behavior towards women and family relations and discord. There are support programs for youth. Youth members of the congregation provide a vibrant aspect to parish life, as you will see. Today's parents who grew up under the Castro regime, which initially harshly repressed church attendance, tend not to be churchgoers, but do not dissuade their children from participating in church activities. In many respects, St. Mary's Church has become like a mini community center, drawing in a spectrum of peoples of different ages and needs. When Griselda became Bishop of Cuba 6 years ago, she established the Office of Missionary Development at the Diocesan Center in Havana, and along with it, the Independent Development Program. It is this program that the Primates Fund supports. Griselda was able to take the next step in her vision of outreach, going beyond Otavalo to other Episcopal parishes in Cuba. There are approximately 40 such parishes or Episcopal faith communities, with many of the faithful worshiping in home churches. These home churches were considered safer, especially at the time when worship was being notably suppressed. An area of the house is set up for worship, with the priest and family living in another portion of the building. The Independent Development Program has an ambitious agenda to engage other parishes in the food production concept, along with the related support services. With the support of PWRDF, this program is introduced to a certain number of parishes each year. In her presentation to us, Griselda noted that the greatest wish at St. Mary's is to advance the food production is to build a greenhouse to provide a controlled environment which will allow for year-round production of certain fruits and vegetables which can now only be successfully cultivated for 4 months of the year. Members of the congregation and community would be involved and instructed in the use of the greenhouse. Now, besides myself, Tessa Dudley, I don't know if you know Tessa, she's a member, was a member of the PWRDF Youth Council from our diocese and was part of the delegation also. Bishop Melissa gave us a letter of greetings from her on behalf of our diocese to pass on to Bishop Griselda. As a follow-up to the delegation's visit and Tessa's and my participation in it, and in line with the Primus Fund current focus on working with partners to advance food production, and Bishop Griselda's stated wish and need to build a greenhouse, the PWRDF diocesan unit here has undertaken a fundraising initiative across the diocese to provide funds for building a greenhouse and training people in its use, which will get a lot of people from the community involved. We are grateful to receive any support for this. Information was mailed to parishes, which hopefully you received. It's also available on the diocesan website, and the diocese has kindly given people the means of donating to it online. Following our stay at Tabo, we moved to the town of Cardenas, where we spent 4 nights at the Center of Christian Dialogue and Reflection, operated by the Cuban Council of Churches. Many church groups stay there. There was a group from the United Church in Victoria when we were there. The center offers a Meals on Wheels program, delivering food packages to the needy in Cardenas. Church groups are encouraged to bring items that are in short supply, such as medical equipment for people with special needs. We visited various programs operated by the Cuban Council of Churches, including El Retiro. This is the farm where the training occurs in the PWRDF-funded Promotores program. The food supplied as part of the Meals on Wheels program in Cardenas is produced here. Like in Itabo, excess fresh and preserved food is sold to generate program funds. Seeds are also sold. On our last day at the center, we brought together the partners and people we had met to share information on the programs they were engaged in. Don, the farmer in our group, gave a presentation on issues facing him as a prairie farmer. Another member of our group who'd worked for Agriculture Canada spoke of government policy and other matters relating to Canadian food production. While much of the small-scale food production is in rural settings, urban and rooftop gardening is widespread in places like Havana and Cienfuegos. We visited a couple of such churches and their surrounding neighborhoods. Now, while in Cardenas, we managed to, we managed to play the tourist role and enjoyed a quick dip in the beautiful, warm, and clear waters of Varadero Beach. One lasting memory that will stay with me of staying at the center is the clippity-clop of horse hooves that you'll hear plying the streets, especially at night, pulling buggies and carts and various other contraptions that complement the collection of old Ladas and 50s American cars chugging along the street. I hope that you'll be able to join us later to see some of my photos. Just one further note. I was delighted to learn yesterday at the Diocesan Mission Conference that our diocese is establishing a companion relationship with the Diocese of the Northern Philippines. PWRDF works with 5 partner organizations there, so there will be many opportunities for good news stories to share from that. I would like to, in closing, I would like to ask that you keep our partner organizations in your thoughts and pray that the Holy Spirit may guide them, resulting in transformative, life-changing activity, and that you offer your financial support as you can. I would like to close with this prayer from the Sharing Bread Resource of 2014 on a day devoted to the theme of sustainable food production. It is by the Reverend Stan McKay, a Cree holy man. We come with thanksgiving for our breath, the warmth of sun, and the sustaining waters, for life all around us, the plants, soft grasses, and sheltering trees, for the ones that crawl, those that swim, and those that fly, for the four-legged and the two-legged, all of our relations. We celebrate the diversity of creation as reflected in the four winds from the four directions. We especially honor the many people with their many gifts for understanding our shared life here on earth. Amen.
Thank you, Peter.
You're most welcome.
And